Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The Myrtles Plantation, located in the deep American South, with its hot summers and lush green pastures, might sound like an idyllic place to spend a weekend. But its history is one of civil war, slavery, disease, and the might of the Mississippi River. One house in particular seemed to punish its occupants. Are their spirits now roaming the property? Welcome back to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, and this week we're looking into the case of the Myrtles Plantation. As always, we kick things off with this week's fact or fiction and listen out for the answer at the end. Now, really, I'm being a bit naughty, a bit cheeky, because I'm seeing if you're listening to the podcast. Okay? If you have, you'll know the answer to this question. If you haven't, you should be wowed by the answer. Okay, so is this fact or fiction? Marie Catherine Laveau practiced voodoo in the 1800s in Louisiana, and she started a beauty parlor and then eavesdropped on wealthy women to gain information for spiritual consultations with them. Is this fact or fiction? Have you been listening to the podcast? We'll find out at the end of the show. Built in 1796 by General David Bradford, the Myrtles Plantation is a historic location in St. Francisville, Louisiana, in the United States. It has an antebellum architecture and a Creole cottage style which Louisiana became known for in the 19th century. Now, it's said that the name comes from the crepe myrtle trees that surround the area. After its extension in the 1850s, the house now has 22 rooms spread over 2 floors. The plantation is centered on a large pond featuring a small island with a gazebo accessible by bridge. General Bradford lived on a structure separate from the main house, which is now used for laundry facilities, guest breakfasts, and plantation offices and a gift shop. The deep American South, with its hot summers, lush green pastures, and grand architecture, might sound like an idyllic place to take a holiday. But, as you most likely know, this part of America has a dark history marked with civil war, slavery, and all manner of horrors left concealed underneath the idyllic aesthetic features of the time. Clark Woodruff was born in Litchfield County, Connecticut, in August 1791. His father was a farmer, a life which Woodruff did not want for himself. He left Connecticut at the age of 19 to seek his fortune along the Mississippi River. In 1815, after serving in the War of 1812, Woodruff went to St. Francisville to study law. Woodruff began his studies with Judge David Bradford, the owner of the Myrtles, then known as Laurel Grove. While earning his degree, he became enamored with David's daughter, Sarah Matilda. Their romance blossomed, and the young couple married on November the 19th, 1817. They then had 3 children together, and everything was going well for Woodruff. He had friends in high places, an esteemed education under his belt, and a loving family to share his fortune with. He had made himself the career he couldn't find back home on the farm. Unfortunately, his happiness did not last long. In 1823, there was an outbreak of yellow fever. This disease claimed many lives throughout Louisiana. Woodruff's wife Sarah succumbed to the disease on July the 21st, and after her passing, Woodruff continued to look after the plantation and take care of his children with help from his mother-in-law. The following year, his son James also died from yellow fever, and just 2 months later, his daughter Cornelia suffered the same fate. He then moved 5 miles north of New Orleans with his remaining daughter Octavia and her husband, where he retired after years of public service. The next owner of Laurel Grove was Ruffin Gray Sterling. The Sterlings were wealthy, owning several plantations on either side of the Mississippi River. In 1834, Ruffin and his wife Mary acquired the house, land, buildings, and all of the slaves previously owned by Clark Woodruff. They remodeled the building with fine furnishings imported from Europe and expanded the halls to create a formal dining room, a games room, and parlours. The house nearly doubled in size and the plantation was officially named to the Myrtles. Sterling died on July 1854, only 4 years after the renovation of the Myrtles, leaving the management of the plantation to his wife Mary. Of their 9 children, only 4 lived old enough to marry. The house was looted and possessions were destroyed by Union soldiers. On the other side of the war, the family's wealth was worthless in Confederate currency. Despite these difficult times, Mary kept hold of the Myrtles until her death in August 1880. 12 years after the death of Ruffin Sterling, his daughter's husband, William Winter, was hired to help Mary Sterling manage her land. In return, Mary gave William and her daughter the use of the Myrtles as their home. One day in January 1871, William was teaching a Sunday school in the gentleman's parlour of the house. He heard someone arriving to the house on horseback and calling out his name. William went out onto the side gallery of the house and was shot. He collapsed onto the porch and died as the gunman left. No one was convicted of this crime, so his killer remained unidentified and unpunished. Sarah was devastated and never remarried, living at the Myrtles with her remaining family until her death in April 1878. After Mary Sterling died in 1880, the ownership of the Myrtles was passed around for short periods of time. Harrison Milton Williams bought the property in January 1889, bringing his young son and wife, Fanny Harrelson, to the house in 1891. He and his family, which grew to include 7 children, kept the Myrtles going during the hard times of the post-war South. But tragedy would strike this family too, just like the ones before it. During a storm, their son Harry was trying to gather stray cattle. He lost his balance and fell into the Mississippi and drowned. Distraught with grief, Harrison and Fanny handed management of the property to their son. He later married and moved his family to the property. By the 1950s, the property surrounded the house had been divided among the Williams heirs, and the house itself was sold to Marjorie Munson, an Oklahoma widow who'd been made wealthy by chicken farms. It's at this point in the aftermath of so much death and destruction that the ghost stories began. Legend surrounds this house. Tales of revenge-seeking slaves, ancient burial grounds, and the past occupants being spotted around the property in spirit form. Are the spirits there potent with anger, longing to seek justice after being caught up in the throes of famine, disease, and civil war? Or was it simply poor healthcare and tension in the southern states which resulted in this series of tragedies? Well, let's start by examining the rumours that rose in the 1950s.
Loose Lips, the podcast where we give our expert, not so expert advice.
Join us as we figure life out one episode at a time.
Yeah, you don't want them break dancing in the middle of Wetherspoons, do you really?
A tanned ankle, no socks, boat shoes. So they have like a partially tanned foot.
So you got through it?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, we're not together now. But...
Oh, well, yeah, there is that.
Gotta say, I'm furious.
High five yourself. Boom. Whoop. Another life saved, you know?
Find us wherever you got this podcast.
Just search Loose Lips for weekly topics and some seriously juicy listener dilemmas.
Legend has it that when Clark Woodruff's wife Sarah was pregnant with her 3rd child, he started an intimate relationship with one of his slaves, Chloe. She was a household servant and put up with Clark's advances to avoid being forced to work in the fields. Woodruff grew bored of Chloe and moved on to the next girl. Chloe eavesdropped private conversations being had by the family, and when she got caught, her ear was chopped off by Woodruff. she started to wear a green turban to conceal the injury. It's said that one day, as the family celebrated their eldest daughter's birthday, Chloe put a small measurement of poison into the birthday cake. Sources differ on whether this was to kill them or just make them ill. The two children and Sarah passed away after eating the cake. Woodruff doesn't eat the cake and survives. The legend ends with Chloe's death, her body weighed down with rocks and thrown into the rushing expanse of the Mississippi River. When we compare this rumour to the known historical context of the Myrtles plantation, there are a few discrepancies that cause Chloe's story to become unrealistic. On record, Sarah passed away from yellow fever a year before any of the children died from the disease. Variations on the tale vary, and this rumour in particular is linked to the new owner, Marjorie Munson. So could it be an attempt to attract tourists? But it is odd that the ghost of Chloe has allegedly been photographed. A picture of a figure lurking behind one of the grand columns of the house has been taken and has been widely purported to be Chloe standing between two buildings. So this could be, as we've discussed many times, pareidolia. I'm looking at the picture now. There's two buildings, and in between the building is sort of what looks to be like a figure. It could be a woman wearing a dress, possibly a turban. We'll post that on our social media page on Instagram, and let me know what you think. So is this the ghost of Chloe at Myrtle's plantation, or is it pareidolia? Now, this image was taken in 1992, and the photographer insisted that no one else was present at the time and that the figure only appeared once the film was developed. Others have reported visiting the house today, now known as the Myrtle's Plantation Bed and Breakfast, and seeing the faces of the Woodruff children in one of the mirrors immortalized in glass next to the rooms where they died. And if you want to examine the house for yourself, they offer historical tours where you can set foot on what is known as one of the most haunted houses in America. If there are ghosts present on Myrtle's plantation, there are many candidates, from the Woodruff family to the Sterling family and poor William Winter to finally the Williams before the estate became modernised into a commercial and historical site. There were also slaves, men, women and children kept in inhumane conditions and forced to work to their death, who lived in a time when their freedom was on the line in US politics. And it's very possible that their spirits haunt the location too, that the tragedies of the house are punishing the families for their role in owning slaves. And this is where I first picked up on Myrtle's plantation. It was the hauntings of the slaves. And apparently, I don't know if I've got this right, but I think one of the female slaves, she was actually chained to the floor so she couldn't leave. And I'm sure there must have been many more, but it was the inhumane conditions that these poor men, women and children were kept in. And I think that's one of the reasons why, just one of why this particular location is so badly haunted. And of course, this is a location I'd love to go and investigate, but predominantly, I'd really love to talk to the spirits that are still there and possibly send them on. This is the most important thing. And it sounds to me like some of the ghosts are clinging onto this plane because of the pain that they went through whilst working there. And because of religious teachings at the time, and particularly in that part of the US, the slightest thing that was deemed bad, a sin, would of course terrify the soul, thinking that they would be confined in damnation for eternity, which, as we all know, isn't the case at all. I think any place that has had trauma residing within the building or land should be looked at and blessed. I don't know why we don't actually do that. We make it sort of almost a law. Any building, any piece of land, you need to bless it. You really, really do, I think. Otherwise, the locations will always be under the spell of spirits that are angry, desperate, and incredibly sad. I've been to enough of these kinds of places, as you know, where there are so many tortured and frightened souls, and they're still within the confines of the locations. Oh, and it makes your heart break. It really, really does. Which reminded me, recently at Shrewsbury Prison, the ghost of a 16-year-old boy came to us and told us he'd been murdered in the prison by his cellmates.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Of course, it was covered up at the time, but he was so frightened as he could still see one of his murderers in spirit form and was being taunted and chased around the prison, and he could not pass on into the light. Oh, it was awful. We felt so sorry for him and did indeed help him go to the other side. So I always ask if a spirit needs help, and if they say yes, then I'll do what I can to help them. And it sounds to me that Myrtle's plantation has many spirits that need to be sent on into the light, and hopefully one day someone will do it. Now we have a story from our lovely listener Vicky, who sent this one in over on our Paranormal Activity Discord server. Hi there. So my mum always puts up the card that she sent my Nana 3 years ago, but Nana never received because she died on the 18th of December 2020. She put it up on a high shelf in front of a glass vase of wine glasses that were rose-shaped with no bases, just stems, if that makes sense. I was facing the table and saw and heard the card flutter slightly down, but not fall. Next thing, there was an almighty bang and the glasses hit the counter and glass shattered everywhere. And I mean everywhere. The funny thing is that when we checked, the vase was still half intact on the shelf, but the glasses had seemingly leapt out of it and shattered on the worktop. We just stopped talking about Nana. It was like she was saying, "You ignored the card, so have this." Well, hi, Vicky. Obviously, there wasn't a window open or a passing heavy vehicle that could have caused the glasses to fall. I'm assuming not. And if that's the case and there's no other logical explanation for it, it really does seem that your Nan was trying to let you know that she was with you. And as you all know, I get cards for my loved ones that have passed on, and I know they really like it and appreciate it. So, Vicky, why don't you get your Nan a new card and put it up every year and see what happens? And I guarantee your Nan will be delighted. Even sing happy birthday for her too on her birthday. And I tell you what, I bet you should be having a right little dance at the same time. Now, let's get the answer to this week's fact or fiction. To remind you, it was Marie-Catherine Laveau practiced voodoo in the 1800s in Louisiana, and she started a beauty parlour and eavesdropped on wealthy women to gain information for spiritual consultations with them. So what do you think? Fact or fiction? If you listened to a prior podcast, you'll know what the answer is. Well, it is, of course, fact. And just to remind you, Marie-Catherine Laveau was born on September the 10th, 1801, as a free black woman in New Orleans, Louisiana. Isn't it sad that you have to say free black woman? She was a practitioner of voodoo, herbalism, and midwifery. Marie excelled at obtaining inside information on her wealthy patrons at the beauty parlor by listening to ladies' gossip, or from their servants who she either paid or cured for mysterious ailments. She used this information during her voodoo consultations with wealthy Orlean women to enhance her image as a clairvoyant and used this intel to give them practical advice. And she also made money by selling her girls gris-gris. They were voodoo amulets originating in West Africa as charms to help their wishes come true. So there you go. If you knew it, I apologise. If you didn't, there you go. You've learned something new. Get in touch with me and share your stories at contact@paranormalpod.co.uk. We are on WhatsApp and the phone number is 075-999-27537 if you'd like to leave me a voice note. And as I said, any photographs like the Myrtle's Plantation one of Chloe will put up there. Here's the handle for Instagram, @paranormalactivity. Property Pod. Stay up to date with the newest episodes by giving us a follow, and I'll be back again same time next week. But if you can't wait until then, visit www.paranormalpod.co.uk where you can find options to get episodes a day early. Have a great week, stay safe, and remember, things aren't always as they seem.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.